Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for today's episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Today, I'm very lucky to be speaking with Sherry Quam Taylor. Sherry, did I pronounce that correctly?
You completely did.
Thank you. Sherry is a teacher to nonprofit leaders, helping them get off the small dollar spin cycle and starting to secure larger donations, looking at major gifts. Sherry, how do we start our conversation today, especially with regard to the current pandemic situation? What are you finding that your clients are doing, or what are their challenges and how are they surmounting them?
Sure. Well, I would say, Mickey, the biggest question I'm getting right now is, can I ask for money? You know, can I solicit even my larger donors? And I saw this actually on a notebook in my, I think it was my Instagram feed yesterday, and it said, pivot, don't pause, right? And so I would tell, what I'm telling my clients right now who have been, you know, really working hard the last year, few months to build deep relationships with their top level donors, cultivate them, you know, in essence, they're leading them to a solicitation. I would tell them, you know, don't stop doing that. And in many cases, still go ahead and make that ask, because, you know, the biggest pressure a solicitor right now can take off of their shoulders, in my mind, is you don't have to decide if that donor can give the gift right now or not, right? Let them decide. And so I've been giving this advice to say, hey, stay steady on your top 30. Of course, you're going to be cautious. And of course, you're going to be, you know, maybe your tone is just a little bit different right now. But you know, I have clients soliciting great size gifts right now because they had done the work to lead their donors to this time in place. And so donors are responding in that way. So, you know, be cautious, but I would say, you know, release that pressure that you feel like, oh, I'm just afraid to ask because they certainly can't give that gift right now. A lot of them still can.
Right. And that's what I'm hearing over and over again, is that now is the time to sort of almost double down on the efforts. You know, you have a job
right.
Leadership that just got a lot more urgent. And so what do you do? Well, you do the urgent stewardship job, and that's what you
right.
do. Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah. And it's, you know, it's encouraging. I actually sent out an email this morning just saying, hey, you know, these are the text messages and emails and good news. You know, I want to report to inspire people, to really say, hey, I guess I really shouldn't go, invisible right now, because, you know, my strategy would be to someone listening to this right now, we got to be thinking, you know, 3 to 6 months ahead. And so even if you were thinking of soliciting somebody in the fall, there is still great cultivation work to be done, checking in, being great listeners, you know, for people who maybe you're going to ask later in the year. And another idea I would give people would be, you know, look at who gave to you the last 3 months. You know, still we're kind of in that year-end giving, reporting back on how we used those donors' gifts. What a wonderful time to reach out to them and say, hey, I'm just calling to say thank you so much for that gift you made at the end of last year, because here's what it's actually doing for us right now. And like, just thank you, right? I mean, what a wonderful way to report impact on the you know, the impact that gift is making right now to a donor.
Exactly.
I think the other part of this I'm seeing is that I think a lot of the responses of the, and I understand it, my goodness, this is a very difficult time, but I think that the panic meter, if you will, I've noticed really does have a lot to do with the reserve or the cash balance, of course, that the organization had going into this. And so I would say that's just the other thing, you know, and maybe the message that I want to send to organizations just as you're, you know, as they're walking and kind of trotting through this, that, you know, I really hope that this whole COVID-19 really does dispel the myth that overhead is bad, right? I mean, my goodness, let's shift this for good. Because I will tell you, my clients who last year really committed to raising a reserve, raising toward the number that the organization needed versus that squeak by number, they're pretty solid right now. And I really, hear me say that in a really like a warm and encouraging way, but they've been sitting on stronger reserves and haven't had to really panic right now. And I'm saying that to try to encourage people, just in this time, if you're reflecting and doing planning and looking back at your budget, you really have to plan to invest in all parts of your organization to grow not only your mission, but also your reserve and your cash balance. And so I would just encourage people to be thinking ahead as well. This is the time where you can really, you know, let's fast forward a year and say, hey, we actually want to have a 6-month reserve, right? Because the hypothetical, oh no, what if our biggest event is canceled? Or, oh no, what if we're all locked in our homes for months? It has happened. And the organizations that have strong reserves are really the stronger ones right now through this. And so be brave to say to donors and here's the thing, your investment level donors will understand this, right? Their businesses that have reserves right now are strong as well. So own it, right? Raise toward it. Put a plan in place to make sure you've built that reserve back if you've had to obviously kind of pull from it right now.
So let me ask a potentially dangerous question, one that could bring this entire conversation to a screeching halt, which is, what do you do now? What do you do now if you're a small to medium-sized nonprofit today in April 1 with no reserve and what you've got is just a handful of donors? You know, are we hearing the death knell for nonprofits, or is there a way for them to find a way to persevere?
Yeah. And Mickey, you know, if I had the crystal ball and could be like, oh, here's the exact thing you need to do. Here's that little secret sauce, right? You know, obviously that's different for everybody. And don't hear me say like, oh, only focus on your large donors right now. I want to make sure you are focusing on them. But, you know, I'm also getting a lot of great reports from campaigns that are going on, or people just reaching out and expressing their need. And so we have to stay active. We have to stay visible to your small donors, to your monthly donors. You know, I'm hearing lots of great things about some, you know, foundations who are providing funding even quicker. You know, my advice to people would be, do an assessment really of, I'm going to say not only your donors, but your really great connectors as well. Who do you have the deepest relationships with, A? And then B, who really understands what you need? And what's a little crazy, and what I kind of mean by that is, and what's crazy is, donors don't always understand what we need, right? And so it's like, well, we're a nonprofit, we need money. But the average donor doesn't understand, oh, okay, so you need like $100,000 a year, or do you need $5 million a year? They don't understand that. So it's really important for us as fundraisers to really raise the sights of our donors, and to do, how to do that is to really make sure they understand what the financial need is of the organization so they can see how they fit into it, right? And so like an example of that would be, I have a lot of groups who, they might be bringing in, you know, a fair amount of money, a couple million dollars, but maybe a large percentage of that is program generated revenue or government funding. And so their charitable giving programs oftentimes have plateaued because donors simply don't understand what they need. They're like, oh, okay, cool. So, oh, great. I'm so glad you're getting federal funding. Good. Or, oh, I'm so glad people would pay for that service, right? And that's never, you know, fully funding the organization. And so donors don't understand like, oh, wow. So you guys actually still need 40% of your budget coming from charitable, right?
Right.
So I think my advice, Mickey, to that question would be, where can you provide clarity to current donors who love you already, that you have direct access to, and that you can get a pretty quick decision from? And I would really focus on those donors.
And that's one thing that a nonprofit can proactively do to stay afloat.
Right, right. I'm a big believer in really having the majority of your funding coming from single source decision makers. And so, you know, what I mean by that is we can pick up the phone and call Tom, you know, we can pick up the phone and call Sue. You know, it's less red tape, less, well, okay, let's apply and kind of wait and see if the committee likes us this year, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, some funding should be coming in from that sort of segment, but prioritizing single source decision makers who you have a deep relationship with and you can get access to pretty quickly is what I would be really focusing on right now.
So in many ways, the tasks in front of us as nonprofits haven't really changed. It's like the messaging has changed a little bit. The the urgency has certainly changed, but the idea is we still have relationships to maintain, and maybe we should expand the scope on what those relationships used to be.
I think you're right. I honestly would be saying the same thing if we would have had this recording 6 months ago, right? I'd be saying, deep relationships, leading your donors to, through a series of, really warm and engaging cultivation steps so that you're soliciting them. I want you really focused on your top 30. That's really where 50 to 75% of your revenue should be coming from. I would still be giving you the same advice, just because we don't know what May 1st looks like. We don't know what June 1st looks like. I think my clients who are on a fiscal calendar year, there's still a really long runway here, and the ones that have fall events that are still kind of on the books, I said, we're still warming up people here, April through August before those fall events. And so in a lot of the areas, that's where I really am saying, stay the course, give the donors a sense of assurance that you are pivoting, that you are being flexible, that you are still serving and their gift is still making an impact in this climate. And for a lot of our donors, that's the most important thing you can be doing right now.
Right. Exactly. I'm pausing here because there's just so much to talk about. And, we try to keep the Snapcast to around 15 to 20 minutes an episode. If there's one takeaway, if there's one thing you would like a nonprofit to take away from hearing this particular episode, what would that be?
I think what I'd say is, and this is, again, what I say often, if you're really in the position and this whole situation has highlighted to you that, gosh, we don't want to go back to this point, I guess is what I'll say, or we really want a future of funding that looks different than this, I would really think about the areas, and this feels counterintuitive right now, I would think about the areas where you as a leader need to invest in learning how to do things differently, right? And so as you can imagine, Mickey, many of the people I work with, it's actually the most favorite part of my job, are people who have started nonprofits who are teachers, lawyers, doctors, social workers, pastors, who saw a need in the world and said, and raised their hand and said, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to start a nonprofit to help. And so they're absolute subject matter experts at their mission, but they just have never needed to know how to pivot into larger gifts and how do I ask and what does an investment level conversation look like? And so I think that the hard part is kind of justifying like, well, I really do need to invest in learning how to do that because that really should be bringing in 75% of my revenue. And so I started with a bold statement about like not wanting the overhead word to exist after we get through this. But I would say I want you to kind of lean into that and say, we need to invest in our organization to help it grow so that when some tragedy or some economic downturn happens again, we are in a stronger position. So I'm always forward. I'm still hopeful and I'm still really always looking forward to say, how can we make it better next time? And so that, I think that would be my biggest takeaway on like what areas do you feel like you need to shore up just to be stronger as you go forward?
I've heard the difference between a hoarder and a prepper is, what was the name? I'm going to have to edit this. But
tell me.
The difference between hoarding and prepping is that hoarding is done in panic and actually depletes the actual overall supply, whereas preparation actually decreases the need for hoarding later on.
Yes, I love that. Perfect analogy. And it's hard right now for me to really comfortably tell the story of like, oh, hey, this client is having great success. They took my program last year and I literally had a client in February say to me, like, I feel a little weird. We have so much money in the bank, And I thought, oh my goodness. So you're like, can I record that? Right. Mm-hmm. But like, I almost feel weird sharing that right now, but I also feel like it's super inspiring because there is a way to pivot into steady, regular annual funding if you invest in yourself and learning how to do that.
Sherry, I'm hoping we can circle back and do a couple more episodes. I think there's much, much more to talk about. Would that be okay with you?
I'd love to, Mickey. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And if a listener wanted to reach out to you and find you, how would they do that?
Sure. Hop on my website. It's Quam Taylor. So those are my two last names, Q-U-A-M as in Mary and Taylor.com. And I've got lots of resources on there, lots of free playbooks. I do free major gifts audits, which are helpful right now. And so anybody can reach out to me also at Sherry@QuamTaylor.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And I think we will definitely talk about the idea you mentioned about some sort of cross promotion between nonprofit Snapshot when it's ready and your programs. I think that that's a fantastic idea. So
I'd love it.
The listener, please keep your ears peeled for that. And in the meantime, if you want to give us any feedback or comments, please reach us through the nonprofit snapcast.org website or on Facebook. Just search for Nonprofit Snapcast there. And we will see you again with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.